Right, this morning, let's just recap a little bit on last week, and then we'll move forward this morning in our series, you know, Authority of the Believer. We were looking at resisting steadfast in the faith. We had a look at in the faith. We had a look at that, 1 Peter 5, the importance of resisting steadfast in the faith. And who are we resisting? Our adversary. Our adversary, our enemy, and that's the devil. We resist steadfast in faith. Now, that's really important because any idea or notion that you can resist steadfast apart from faith is error. That's misguided and that's deception. You can't resist steadfast apart from faith. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, is that correct?
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you're spending time in the word, meditating on the word, getting that word before your eyes, hearing the word through the preached message, then that's going to build you up to allow you to resist. So resisting is sort of builds this picture of pushing back against something. If we're weak, it's hard to resist someone or something that's stronger than us. We need to be strong if we're going to resist. That's why Christianity is not a passive walk. Paul called it a fight of faith. But he called it a good fight, and we had a look at that, and you can pick up what we talked about there through the podcast. But this morning, I want to focus on how then do we resist and overcome in faith? How do we do it? Because we're told to do it. We are told to resist. I mean, of course, we read in James last week that we're submit to God. We submit to God first, do we not? We then resist the devil, correct? Then he flees. That's the only order in which the devil will flee, is when we're submitted to God first, then we resist him. So it seems to me that we talk about steadfastness and submission. There must be a correlation there. If you're submitted to God, by default, you must be submitted to the word. That means if God says something and he decrees it, then our right submission to that is yes and amen. Yes, we believe your word and we're going to make that truth our truth. So that submission is likened to steadfastness. So we resist steadfast in faith. In faith. Why? Because we're submitted. We're submitted. So if we're looking at how do we resist and overcome in faith, well, the first point that we want to raise this morning is we must believe. We must believe. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John 5 at the back of the book. 1 John 5 this morning. We must believe. If we're going to resist steadfast in faith. Hallelujah. And I want to make this comment while you're turning to that. I just want to take it really slow this morning, if I can. So believe with me. The authority of the believer is directly connected to our union with God. I want to say that again. The authority of the believer is directly connected to our union with God. So if there's no union, there's no authority. God's not equipping the children of the devil. They don't have authority. God's not empowering the children of the world. They don't have any authority or power, but we do. Because the only place we can get authority is when we're in union with the one who gives the authority. So the first base, if you can use that term, the first base that we must begin with is believing. In other words, we must be born again. Now, I know this church is full with believers, but We have to be saved before any of this applies. Any of it. It's not just, well, you know, I'm not there yet, but I know God's going to give me some of his... No, he's not. No, because have a look in 1 John 5. Read with me from verse 1. Verse 1. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever... Are you a whosoever?
Yes.
Okay. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ... Sorry, Jesus is a Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loves him, that begat, loves him, that is begotten of him. That means you love the Father, you love the children. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. So, who overcomes the world? Yes. But what's the condition? Whoever believes. Have a look at it again. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Look at verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The first requirement to resisting in faith is to believe that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, once we've said all that, once we're born again, once we're recreated in spirit, we now have the right to walk in authority. We have the right to walk in authority. The sad thing is, today, millions of Christians that have declared the promise of God, that fulfill that requirement, have no understanding or knowledge of their authority. And they're being beaten down, they've been trodden underfoot, they've been deceived, they've been lied to, they've been manipulated, they've been connived. By who? The devil. Because they don't understand the authority that they have. But once we know that we are in Christ, once we're born again, let's say it again, look at verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's where overcoming victory is. Whoever is born of God. And that word overcome means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail. And what are we overcoming? Because you might be thinking, well, Jesus did it all, didn't he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The blessing that was on Adam, he won back at Calvary's cross. But is that just now, you know, a free-for-all, whoever wants the blessing? No. That blessing's for his children. He's not blessing the enemy. And does that mean that the children can get the blessing anytime they want? Yes, by faith. By faith. The blessing is in the grace. And you take the grace by faith. So it's there for us, but it's not just going to be showered down from heaven as God wills, because God's already decreed how the grace flows from heaven to earth. And we've talked about that, and we're not going to spend time on it this morning, but we need the faith to take the grace. But we know the fundamental requirement to walk in authority is to be in union with the one who gives the authority. That means we're born again. And we have that. We have that. Thank God for it. We're born again. Have a look at John 16. John 16. Hallelujah. John 16. And I want to read at verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. Jesus said these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So in the world, we're going to experience pressure, anguish, burden, persecution, or trouble. Now you're thinking, why is it that I'm often coming under persecution and attack? Well, Jesus said, you're in the world. The reason why we come under these attacks, this pressure, this persecution, this trouble, is because we're in the world, which is still impacted by the curse. We've been redeemed from it. Those that are in union with God aren't subject to this, but there's still pressure that's applied, and that's why we've got to be strong to resist that pressure. That's how we do it. And we resist steadfast in the faith. If we haven't got faith operating out of our spirit, can I say this right now? You're not going to be successful in your resisting. You can't. We've got to get this. So many of God's people are struggling with these pressures that are in the earth. We all have them. But what do we do when they come? Do we resist steadfast in the faith, or do we declare the problem more than we do the answer? It's all a choice. It's all a choice. So we are overcomers because we're in Him. Because He says, you know, that in me you might have peace. In me, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, or that means be of good courage, be courageous. I've overcome. Why? Because we're in Him and He's in God. That's where the victory is. And that's why we need to hold on to that truth. Hallelujah. You can make a note of this, we won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15:57 says that God gives us the victory. God gives us a victory. Always. Have a look at Romans. Just go with me. Romans chapter 8. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, was very confident in what he was declaring because he'd personally experienced God's undeniable faithfulness to him. And he trusted God in everything that he went through. God would deliver him. And God did. Indeed. Hallelujah. God was very, very faithful to him. Look what it says here in verse 31 in Romans 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me ask you this question. Can anyone be against us if God's for us? Anyone? Well, the devil can't. He's defeated. Can your worst enemy, if God's for us, can they be against us? No. People that have troubled you, that have persecuted you, that have done you harm, if God's for us, can they be against us? The answer is no. Let's keep reading as to why. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he gave his son to pay the price for all sin. And he said, won't he then give us freely all things? Of course he will. Haven't we been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? All spiritual blessings. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we don't need to be asking God for the blessing. We need to receive the blessing by faith. He's given it to us. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. There's no prosecution against God's children, people. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. God is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Didn't Jesus say, be of good cheer? I've overcome all that. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Don't be concerned about that. I've overcome. And if you're in me, you've overcome. That's how we've got to see ourselves in Christianity. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are conquerors. Why? Because of faith. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor thing present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing in this world order or in the spirit realm, the unseen realm, that can separate us from God. There's nothing. There's no force more powerful than God in this earth. So if he's equipped his church to go in power and authority, there is no force in the earth today or in the realm of the spirit that is more powerful than what's in us. None. Why then is there such struggle? I'm going to have a look at that in a moment. Why do so few Christians operate in the authority as a believer? And I say few because that's the truth. Few operate in the measure of the authority that God has given the church. Why is that? Because they can't resist. And it's because they're weak in spirit. The resisting requires strength of spirit. And if we're weak in spirit, it's hard to resist. So we have to look at, okay, what do we do to be strong in spirit? And that's something that we need to look at, not only this morning, but over the next few weeks. And you can make a note of 2 Corinthians 2:14. And it says this, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. So he's leading us in triumph. So when you look at the word, when you look at Jesus, the words he speaks, and you look at Paul and you study John, there's a theme that comes out, and that is God's position and God's view and God's expectation is that a well-equipped, authorized church can do all that it's called to do. Is that true?
Yep.
Well, that's how we read it. Then we have to ask the question, why don't we reach that level at times? All of us at times miss the mark. That's okay, because we grow in this, but we don't want to consistently be overcome. Because we're the overcomers, are we not? The word says we are. Well, if the word says you're an overcomer whether you feel like it or not. You need to change your thinking. If you don't think you're an overcomer, go back to the word and declare the promises of God until that rises up in your spirit and you say, yes, I'm an overcomer. Because the word says we are. So if he says we're overcomers, then we want to operate as an overcomer, and that overcomer has the ability to resist steadfast in the faith. So let's look this morning at the problem of a weak spirit. How do we develop a strong spirit? Because if we're going to resist, if we're going to push back, then we have to be strong spiritually. We're not talking natural. We're talking spiritual. There's a spiritual resistance to the things that are operating in this earth. When you get to heaven, you will not be resisting anything. There's nothing to resist in heaven. Heaven's going to be a beautiful place, a perfect place. There'll be no tears. There'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no torment. Heaven is a place of peace because the Prince of Peace is there. So how do we operate in the earth today with that degree of peace. Because we can. The word says we can. So if we can, then we should strive for that. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, which touched on it a few weeks ago, but I want to bring out a point again this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. So we want to develop a strong spirit. How do we develop a strong spirit so we can walk in the authority of the believer? Because that's what we want to do. We want to walk in this authority. Why? Because we're in union with God. So we have all the requirements to walk in that authority. We're not separated from Him. We're His children. We're one with Him. In fact, Jesus prayed, if you study out John 17, He prayed, you know, He prayed that the future believers, including the disciples, would be one with them. One with them. What a beautiful prayer. One with God. We are one with God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be, what's the next word?
Strong.
In the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we're not strong in us and we're not strong in our fleshly ability. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, resist steadfast in the faith. We've got to resist steadfast in the faith. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, that word strong means to empower, to enable, or to strengthen. And that word power means dominion. Be strong in the Lord and in the power or the dominion of His might. And that word might means ability or force or strength. If we're going to resist steadfast in the faith, it's got to be done in the Spirit. This Spirit, the Spirit that's in us, it's got to be strengthened. Now, we've got ways to strengthen our spirit, absolutely. But that's where it comes from. That's where the victory comes from, when our spirit is strong. Our spirit's got to be strong. Now, if our spirit is weakened, then we need to do something to strengthen it. If you've got a weakness in your body, then you may take something naturally to strengthen that. I mean, we've got enough sense to know that naturally. But that's not how you strengthen your spirit. You know, medicine in a bottle is good for outward things, and that's okay, no problem with that. But we're talking about strengthening your spirit, man. Well, the Word is food. The Word of God is food. It nourishes the spirit. When you're a baby Christian, it says, you know, sincere, you know, take that sincere milk of the Word. You know? Take it. Take it. Feed on that sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And then, of course, you know, we can tell from studying the Scriptures that there comes a point where you're no longer on baby formula, but you're on meat. But there was a time there where Paul couldn't teach them meatier things of the truth because they were still on milk. They were still babies. We don't want to stay babies. Babies struggle resisting. Babies struggle resisting. We've got to grow in faith so we can resist. And then when we resist, we stand. Sometimes that resistance is going to be longer than other times. But no matter what it is, we stand. And when you've done all to stand, what does the Bible command us to do? Stand. There's nowhere in the Bible where we just give up. Okay, well, you know, this has gone in one day longer than I anticipated. That's it. I'm broken. No, you're not. You'll never be broken. You've got the King of Kings residing on the inside of you. No place for loss in the kingdom. We are the victorious ones. And I'm saying this because that's what the Word tells me. Now, I've got to believe this Word, and so do you. Now, we can choose not to believe this Word. That's a matter for us. I choose to believe what He says. Now, there's many out there, even, you know, God-fearing, Bible-toting, believing people that will tell you, we don't want to get your hopes up. Well, why would you say that? Why wouldn't I want to build up my faith and my hope in God? Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what we can't see. Don't ever say that to anyone. Don't ever, you know, don't do anything which is going to limit someone's ability to stand on the Word of God. If you're not sure about the Word of God, don't give them any advice. Or send them to someone that's got knowledge of the Word. But don't say something that comes out of your spirit because it's your feeling and it's not the Word. Don't do that. That displeases the Father seriously. Don't do anything that weakens someone else's faith. Well, good luck believing for that, you know. No, encourage people in the faith. Encourage them to believe God and His Word. Don't always find scriptures why it mightn't be so. Always people looking for what they can do to counter a truth. If the Word is clear on something, it's clear on something. Don't be one of these people that are always looking, you know, for some way to find a reason as to why that might not apply to me. Very dangerous. Churches are filled with this, and all they are confused people because the Word is not confusing. The Word is very clear. The Word will do everything it says it'll do. Now, you may not believe that, but that doesn't change the Word. There are people out there today that don't believe God exists. Well, that doesn't change the truth of His Word. It doesn't change the truth of His Word. There are hospitals filled with sick people. Is that God's will? Is that God's will? Of course it's not God's will. But you might think, well, you know, that's just the way it is with them. Well, yes, there are choices, but that's not God's will. I mean, sickness, the root of sickness is sin. If sickness was the will of God and He wants to slap it on you, then sin must be His will too, because they're a mother and father combination. Poverty and lack, sickness and disease come from the root of sin. Of course God's resistant to it because He hates sin. God's will's not sin. Anything that comes from sin is not the will of the Father. It's interesting that in heaven, none of that's going to exist. I'll tell you why. Because that wasn't God's will from the beginning. Did it exist in the garden before the fall? Did it? There was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no poverty, there was no lack. That's heaven replicated. Sin brought in the curse, which brought in sickness and disease and death. God's not happy with that. That's why He sent His Son. And God redeemed man back to Him, removed him from the curse, and we should be walking in the victory. But it's going to take some knowledge. It's going to take some time. And it's going to take some declaration of faith and resisting things that stop us from walking in the fullness of God's blessing in our lives. You know, the enemy's been having a field day. But that's okay. We've got authority and we need to exercise it so we can walk in the victory. Hallelujah. Remember Proverbs 18:14. I'm not going to turn there. But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The strong spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So a wounded spirit is a broken or stricken spirit. Who can bear or who can lift it up? So if our spirit is weakened, it affects our ability to stand and resist steadfast in the faith. So we've got to be strong in our spirit. We've got to be strong in spirit. Hallelujah. Just go back a page to Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And it says this, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to our ability. Is that what it said? Didn't say that. Okay. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to our church attendance and regularity. Didn't say that. All right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. We've been empowered and authorized to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And it's interesting, you know, when you think about what he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. What are they going to do? We're going to cast out devils. We're going to speak with new tongues. We're going to take up serpents. And if we drink any deadly thing, it won't harm us. We're going to lay hands on the sick, and the sick are going to what? Well, if that was God's will, why would he empower us to lay hands on sick people so that they could recover? It's foolish deception that the world's bought. Foolish deception that it's not God's will to heal his people. It is God's will. It is God's will. All through Scripture. You will never find one verse, not a single verse in the Bible where Jesus refused. And he did the will of the Father. Now, if this was God's plan, he'd at least give us one example of it so we could follow. You'll never find one. And you know and I know that the reason why he couldn't heal in his hometown was because of unbelief, not because he wouldn't. He couldn't. Can God be limited in your life and mine because of our unbelief? Yes. Is he limited when we don't exercise faith? Yes. Can we die sick in unbelief? Yes. Is that God's best? No. No. Not his best. Not his best. Not his best. God's faithful. God is faithful. His word is truth. Don't ever bring an argument to me, ever, that God may not heal. I'm not interested in that because it's unbelief and it's not Bible. It's not Bible. If you can't give me three scripture and verses, don't bring an argument to me. Three. Three as a minimum. That God doesn't always heal. Now, I've read this book many, many, many times over. You'll never find it. You'll never find it. And I'm putting that on podcast for all the world to hear. You'll never find it. It's not there. But if you're looking for something that aligns to your situation, then be careful. Because now you're open to a devil's lie. This is the only thing that we've got as truth. The word. Once you've determined that the word is truth, it's absolute truth, not a truth, but the truth, now you're ready to resist steadfast in the faith. Until this word is your absolute truth, you're not ready. Because you're now you're open to deception because you haven't established in your heart that his word is truth, even though Jesus said in John 17:17, my word is truth. Sanctify them, separate them, make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Word's truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is he not? Well, isn't he the word of God? Jesus, the word of God, is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And we know in John 15, verse 5, that he's a vine, we're the branch. Can we do anything apart from him? Nothing. You can't stand steadfast apart from him. You can't walk in victory apart from him. We can't do anything apart from him. We're in him. It's the power working in us. We can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that's in us. Now that's different. When we are drawing on the power within, then there's no limit on what God's children can do and what he's called us to do. He doesn't put limits. We put limits on God, but he doesn't put limits on his children. And we want to walk in that victory. Now, can I say this? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We said earlier this morning that it's the union we have with God that allows us to walk in authority as believers. A casual relationship with God is not going to empower you to walk in the authority I'm talking about this morning. So if this word's not really something that you spend a lot of time in, let me just say this to you. Don't blame God if your life's unraveling when you're hearing the word but you don't obey it. This only applies when this is first place in your life and you've made those truths your truths, then you walk in the authority of a believer. You're not going to walk in this authority if this word's never opened up between Sunday to Sunday. And I'm not saying that as a put down, I'm saying it because I love you all. You can't walk in victory if you haven't got a strong spirit. And the only way you're going to have a strong spirit is to feed on this book. There's no shortcuts. Spend time listening to ministers of the gospel that preach faith. Read the word for yourself. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. That's what empowers us to stand. Because if you're weak in spirit, the stand's going to be very, very tough. But we don't want to be weak in spirit. Hallelujah. Have a look at Joshua chapter 1. Go to the back of the Bible, or the front of the Bible, sorry. Joshua 1, sixth book. Sixth book of the Bible. We often read this, but let's just have another look at it. Joshua 1. We want to read from verse 8 and what God told Joshua to do to walk in victory. Because he was about to take the promised land. And if you study out Joshua and some of the books after it, he had to take down 31 kings. 31 kings. So, you know, they all have spiritual significance because we're bringing down strongholds as well. They're not flesh and blood kings, but we are still bringing down strongholds. As we walk our journey of faith, we've got some kings we've got to take out, just like Joshua. But look at the advice God gave Joshua. Sound advice for the Christian today, my people. Very, very sound advice. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, I want to ask you this question. Don't answer it, but do a bit of an audit on your own life. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Do a quick audit in your head. Do I follow that or don't I? Just think about it. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Think about that one. Tick the box if it's right. That you may observe to do according to all, not some, all that is written therein. So you don't want that word to depart, you know, and then you want to meditate on it and then you want to do what it says. So are we doing that? Because these are all the things that are going to build and strengthen our spirit because we're exercising our faith in God. And then he says this, for then, so if you just tick those three boxes and your life is reflecting that, he says, then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Well, that suggests to me that if we aren't meeting those requirements, we may not have that prosperity and success. And when I mean prosperity, I'm not talking just money. I'm talking prosperity in health, in relationships, in your business, in every area of your life. Prosperity is a blessing from God, not a curse. Don't preach it as a curse like so many do. And if you don't like the prosperity message, you won't like this church because you're going to get it. But I'm not just talking money. People who have a problem with money are the ones that elevate it. It's the least in the kingdom. Prosperity is where you are walking in overcoming victory because you're resisting steadfast in the faith because your spirit man is strong. And the reason why your spirit man is strong is because you don't let the word depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night and you do what's written therein. Then you'll prosper, then you'll succeed. And then God says this to Joshua in verse 9, have not I commanded you? Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. That means be cheerful. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua, as an amazing servant of God that he was, did not have the Spirit of God indwelt in him. He wasn't born again, nor was David, nor was Elijah, nor was John the Baptist, nor was Ezekiel, nor was Daniel, nor was Moses. None of them were born again. We are and have the Spirit of God in us. He said, I'll be with you wherever you go. Look at it again. Neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Well, he's not just with us now, is he? He's in us. He's in us. So wherever we go, he goes. Wherever we go, he goes. Well, we've got to strengthen our spirit. We've got to keep our spirit strong. We've got the Spirit of God indwelt in us, but we've got to exercise and develop our spirit. So our spirit is strong. We're declaring things that cause victory in our lives. If you take enough of God's word long enough, listen to this. If you take enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal you, deliver you, and it'll change you. If you stay in this book long enough, if you take enough of it long enough, it'll heal your body, it'll renew your mind, it'll change your life. But are you willing to do that? God doesn't do that for us. Then you might think, well, I haven't really got time to read the book. Well, don't seek the blessing. Don't be seeking it because you're not going to get it in the measure that God wants you to walk in. I want God to move in my life. Well, are you willing to do what He says? Are you willing to commit to the program, so to speak? Are you willing to, and this is not legalism. This is not legalism, people. This is about you being in vital union with your God. It's not about union. It's not about legalistic do's and don'ts. But we know that we need to spend time in this word if we're going to walk in victory. The word is everything because we want to strengthen our spirit. Remember, we're developing a strong spirit here. Have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7. And of course, if you were to read chapter 4 from the beginning, you know, Paul is warning Timothy against false teachers. And you can read that in your own time for context. But he's warning Timothy about false teachers. And he says this in verse 6. And this is a New Living. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas and wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Gee, that's good counsel right there. Don't waste yourself with ungodly ideas and foolish wives' tales. Don't waste it on that. Don't get caught up in genealogies and this. Stay with the truth. Stay with what's going to build your faith. Stay on point. Don't get into that other stuff. It's a time waster. You know, we for the time that we've got, you know, we need to redeem the time. For the time we've got on this earth, we want to really exercise wisdom in what we do with our time. But he says, you know, if you remind the people of this, he says, it's going to nourish you. You're going to be nourished by that message of faith. We want to be nourished. And that, you know, nourishment means to feed or to educate. Wow. We want the word to feed and educate us. We don't want to be caught up in things that aren't going to benefit us. So that's wise counsel from Paul. Be nourished. Be nourished in these words of faith that you've learned and encourage others to do so. That's what we want to do. That's the advice and counsel we want to give people. Wise, godly counsel. If we don't have a scripture to back up something we tell them, don't give it to them. Particularly Christians giving something to Christians. Well, you know, I think you should do this and this and this. Give them the word. Because it's safe. It's a safe thing. The word of God's safe. If we give them the word, then they can meditate on that. And they can rightly divide that word. That's what we want to give God's children. And we want to encourage them in the faith, always encouraging people in the faith. So, you know, we've got God telling Joshua to meditate, spend time in the word, build yourself up. Don't let it depart from your mouth. You know, do what's written therein. So he's building something on the inside because he says, you've got some things ahead of you. And you're going to need this strength and courage, but it's going to be faith that's going to cause you to walk in victory. The reason why Joshua walked in victory was because he had faith in God. Same applies to us. The reason why we walk in victory is because we have faith in what God has said in His Word. Faith. We don't have faith in circumstances. We have faith in the Word, and it'll change circumstances if we believe this book. Not everyone believes this book, people. Now, I don't know every heart in this room, but there's going to be degrees of believing in this church right now about all this. Degrees of believing. Doesn't change God, doesn't change His Word, and it won't change the final outcome of what He's already set in motion. Nothing will change. It's going to work exactly how He's planned it to work. Nothing will change. But we can be in on that plan by faith. And that's where that resistance comes from. Steadfast in faith. So, a couple of points. Hallelujah. Man doesn't have the last word. Okay? Don't be moved by the opinions of others which have no biblical foundation. I've got to say this, people. Some of the stuff I hear Christians tell me about what someone said to them, I think, why firstly would you even listen to that trash? It's diatribe. Why would you listen to it? Don't listen to the opinions of people if it hasn't got a biblical foundation. Now, this is a safe way to walk this journey of faith. It's a safe way to navigate around false teachers and false prophets and people who have an agenda to take from you and not deposit to you. You want to build your faith to see all that. You want to have a discerning spirit. The Word will give you that. So that's number one. Eat the right thing. We're talking about developing a strong spirit. Eat the right thing. Meaning read the Word daily and take time to meditate and reflect on its truth. We want that, but we got to feed it. Strength comes from feeding and exercising. Satan wants us to become weak before he attacks. Think about Jesus. You know, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness, did he not, in Matthew chapter 4? And did the devil come on day two of his fast? Day two? No. What day did he come? Day 40, when he was hungry. He didn't come on day two of Jesus' fast. He came on day 40 of the fast to tempt him. Well, do you think, no, he'd only do that to Jesus. He wouldn't do that with me. I mean, no, that's exactly what he does. He waits till you are in a weak place and then has a crack. He wants us to be weak. Well, that's what I'd do too if I was an enemy. I'd want to see my opponent weaken before I took the shot. Well, the enemy's, he's defeated, but he's not dumb because he's able to deceive most of the world. So he can't be that dumb, but he's defeated and he's a loser and he's going to the lake of fire. We know that. So we're not giving him more credit than he deserves. What I'm saying is, greater is he that's in us than he that's in him, period. But we've got to stand and resist. That means we've got to be strong in our spirit, because if we're weak in spirit, he'll let you get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Oh, now you're out of church. You're not in the Word. You're not taking the text messages. You're not listening to anyone's wise counsel. Then he attacks you. And 9 times out of 10, he'll have a victory over Christians who've got to that place where they've removed themselves. And it's very subtle, people. It's very subtle. You know, and it starts with the Word. Oh, I haven't got time, I'm too tired. And then before you know it, you're not in church. I'm not judging people here. I'm just telling you the schemes of the enemy. He's a deceiver. Because if you think, and I think, that we can be strong, not in the Word, not in church, not in fellowship with God's people, can I tell you right now, you're deceived. And deception is going to cost you and me. We can't do this unless we're in a living relationship and union with God. It's got to be living and vital. This is so important. These are the ones that stand steadfast in faith. They resist because they have a vital living relationship. They're strong in spirit and they resist steadfast in the faith. Nothing will move them. That's what we're talking about here. A little bit more time, then we'll carry on with it next week. So what are the things that can drain our spirit? So what can drain our spirit? Things that we should know about this morning. Fear is one of them. Fear will drain every ounce of faith out of you. You've got to resist it. Fear is demonic. Fear is satanic. It's devilish. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The spirit we have is not fearful. It's a demonic spirit, and it's got to be resisted. Oh, yeah, God will take that off me if it comes. Will he? Will he? Well, there's a problem then, because most of the world lives in fear, so God's not doing a very good job. God's not going to take that spirit off you. You've got to resist it. Soon as you speak to it, that thing's gone. Something else. Worry. Worry is so closely aligned to fear. Doubt. We get into doubt when we start believing things outside of the book. Strife. When we let strife into the home, little things, a little foxes spoil the vine. The moment strife gets in, you know, there's confusion and every evil work. We know strife is a demonic footprint. If you've got strife in your home, you've got the devil visiting. Kick him out. He's got no right to be there. He's a trespasser. And another one, this is what we can drain our spirits, too many involvements. Involved in too many things, most of them God didn't tell you to do. I've got to be really, really cautious with that myself. You know, what have you called me to do, Lord? And I thank God that I've got a great wife that reminds me constantly, stick with what God told you to do. Stick with what God told you to do. Preach the word, teach the word. And that's what I do. I don't get involved in that. Gee, be good and get involved in that ministry and that ministry. And why don't we start that program and this program and that'd be good for the community. God didn't tell me. And if God didn't tell me, I'm not doing it. Amen. I'm not doing it. If God hasn't told me to start a feeding program or this, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do what he's told me to do. And he told me to teach the word. Teach the word until people get it. And that means I'm teaching until I breathe my last. Got to do that. So, you know, you might be thinking, oh, there's some things this church really could be doing. That's great, but unless the Spirit of God tells me to do it, we're not doing it. Because I'm not going to spread myself so thin that I get out of this book. That ain't going to happen. I don't care what people think. If you haven't already worked it out, I actually don't care what people think. I love people, but I'm not moved by what they think. I couldn't care less. You have no idea how much I don't care about that. I'm serious. I couldn't do this if I was concerned about what people think of Paul's message on Sunday. I couldn't care. I couldn't care. I very rarely listen to my own message apart from putting it on the podcast. I don't listen to my own message. If God wants me to, I will. But I haven't got a lot of time. So, you know, these are things that we've got to be careful of. Are we too involved? Because this can drain our spirit, you know? Or pleasing people rather than walking by faith. It's not knowledge that gets us through bodily pain, discomfort, or pressure. Listen to this, but a strong spirit. Not knowledge. Your head knowledge is not going to get you through bodily pain, discomfort, or pressure. It's a strong spirit that's going to get you through that. And the strong spirit is one where we spend time feeding it with God's word. Now, final comment, and then next week I'm going to go through some scriptures which talks about a strong spirit of a man or a woman. How can you tell when your spirit's weak? We're going to finish with this morning. This is something we can reflect on. Your spirit is fearful, anxious, you dread, you have a depressed spirit. It's a lazy spirit. There's no incentive. There's no excitement or drive. Always speaking negative. That's the fruit of a weak spirit. So if you've been experiencing some or all of that in recent times, understand that's symptomatic of a weak spirit. That's not a strong spirit. Say it again. A weak spirit is going to be characterized by fearfulness, anxiousness, dread, depression. There's a depression about you. Laziness, no incentive, no excitement or drive or joy, and always speaking negative. Now, if you've experienced some of this, I'm not saying this as a criticism or a put down. I'm just helping us to understand that's indicative or symptomatic of a weakened spirit. So we need to do things to strengthen that, amen? And we'll look at that more next week. What can we do? Well, one of the things we can do is declare the promises of God concerning strength. What does the Bible say about strength? Well, when we get into the Bible and have a look at it, the Bible has a lot to say about strength. So we can look at that. We can say, okay, I'm going to take scriptures in the Bible that declare God is my strength. Well, if God's your strength, can you declare that? He is my strength and my refuge. He's my fortress. Can we declare that? We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Can we declare that? Of course we can. We can declare the promises of God. And you do that long enough, you declare those promises long enough, something in you is going to rise up over and above the fear and the anxiety and that sort of brokenness, that, you know, lack of interest or lack of desire, that laziness, all those things will rise above and you will be walking in strength of the Spirit. Because our spirit man loves to be fed. Amen? So if we feed it the right food, we're going to see a very clear result from that. God is good, amen? And He wants us to walk in victory. So just recapping, how to resist and overcome in faith. Well, firstly, we've got to be born again. We've settled that. And secondly, and we'll continue with this next week, we need to develop a strong spirit. And we'll have a look at that in the Word next week, how we can exercise that spirit to be strong. Amen? Let's pray.